Let us turn, please, to the prophecy of Zephaniah, as has been announced and advertised. Chapter 1, reading from verse 1. The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven, and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked, and I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah, and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of Chimerims with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and did swear, and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcham, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired of him. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his servants, his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which filled their masters' houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktash, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they that walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Gather yourselves together, Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek his righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Or chapter 3. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice, she received not correction, she trusted not in the Lord, she drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions, her judges are evening wolves, they gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He feeleth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. Verse 8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me, for then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Now that's an extensive reading, but useful, I trust, and one that the Lord will bless abundantly. In the last 2 years, at this time, for the benefit of all present, we have been looking at the prophets, generally described as the minor prophets. We did 4 2 years ago, 4 last year, and now we'll endeavor to complete them by looking at the remainder untouched at this occasion. So it is my responsibility to open up this wonderful book of Zephaniah, and my title is The Zest of Zephaniah. If you don't know what that simple word means, look at a dictionary, and you will find that if you took a very sharp but tasteful drink, it would create a feeling that urges for more. And I feel I want just to gather that in my soul as I read this mighty prophecy of Zephaniah. It's not an easy one, though short, but as I read it, and I've read it many times, it certainly does give me a taste for much more than I can maintain. Now, my simple approach is, first of all, to look at 1 or 2 or 3 characteristics of Zephaniah, and then we'll come to the contents. It's significant that while this is just a 3-chapter book, Zephaniah quotes or uses the expression, the day of the Lord, more than any other prophetic writer. So it's important for you, younger Christian and younger believer in the Word, to note the references to the day of the Lord in these 3 chapters. Very important. Then, he's the only prophetic writer that traces his history to 4 generations before him. Normally, it's 1 or 2. But Zephaniah goes right back to the 4th generation before him. And while many writers deny that it is Hezekiah the king, I haven't the slightest doubt that that's the person to whom Zephaniah is referring. Which indicates that Zephaniah could be termed a royal prophet. A royal prophet. For he was indeed a far out relation of the king in whose days he ministered, that of Josiah that's mentioned in the passage. So here's a very interesting thing, that God would use a man of such royalty and of such dignity to become the volume and the verse and the voice of his word. I like this too because I know just a little, but I find that in verse 8 of chapter 3, look at that verse with me. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord God, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. There's one interesting thing about this verse, and as far as I can ascertain, it is the only verse in the whole of the Old Testament that uses all the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. That's very interesting. So here was the man under the leading of the Spirit of God, put, as we would put it in our language, everything from A to Z. And so here is the completeness. To me, here is the fullness of this dear servant's ministration. And I believe it's, of course, directed by the Spirit of God. Now, we're going to look at the book in a simple way. I tried to expound it section by section. But my concern is that the Lord will give us help to derive from it its practical message for us. Now, we understand that it's for Israel, and with the day of the Lord mentioned so many times, it is obviously pointing forward to a day that is yet to come, when Israel will be brought under divine discipline and divine judgment, but will ultimately prove the restoring hand of Jehovah God, and will be brought into wondrous conformity to His mind and will for that great period of the millennial day of glory. So here are things that are very extensive and very explicit, and I trust it will form an interest in those that read their Bible thoughtfully. I just divide this whole book into two. Verse 1 of chapter 1 to verse number 8 of chapter 3. And in those verses, you will observe, it's the retribution of Jehovah. Throughout those verses, from chapter 1:1 to chapter 3, verse 8, Zephaniah is proclaiming the oncoming, forthcoming judgment of God, not only upon Israel, but upon all the nations that are associated in opposition to His divine revelation. And then from chapter 3, verse 9, to the end of the book, we have the restoration of Jehovah. Now, I think that I must have made a mistake in my computer makes mistakes, you know. It's 3 verse 7, right? 3 verse 7, verse 1, 1 to 3 verse 7, and then 3 verse 8 to verse 20. The retribution of Jehovah, and then the restoration of Jehovah. It is not easy to ascertain at times the meaning of these names, but I like the passage that I read to you, and I want you to notice chapter 2, verse 3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be. You brethren that read your Bible with your eyes open, how many times do you get those words in your Bible? It may be. It may be, ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. I understand from my reading that that's the word Zephaniah. For Zephaniah means to be hidden by Jehovah. So he's using, as it were, his own name in chapter 2 and verse 3. Ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Hidden by Jehovah. I feel that's important. You know, you and I, in testimony for God, are surely anxious to comply and to conform to His word and to His will. It could be that in doing so, you find yourself attacked, you find yourself oppressed, you find yourself the object of disregard and disrepute. And I would feel that that's just how Zephaniah must have felt as he expressed the ongoing displeasure of God with the people of God not moving as they ought. And so his name means hidden of Jehovah. And my dear child of God, remember this. You stand for the truth of God, whatever the cost may be. Whatever the difficulty may arise in this assurance that you can be hidden by Jehovah. He can preserve. He can provide. He can protect. And so much of that is exemplified in our Bible, isn't it? We were thinking today, wasn't it, of that dear prophet of God that was brought out of prison and remonstrated before these two mighty kings to be found beaten and hidden and spat upon and brought back into prison. But surely in those mighty actions of the world and of the ways of men, Micah, as his real name is, would have known the protection and the hand of God. And each of us that have come through life, you know, we have found ourselves in many ways attacked by those that will not accept the truth of God. So it's good just to be conscious of devotion, of determination to maintain the mind of God individually, collectively, devotedly, and with all the assurance of the Word of God, in spite of what it may entail. We have this assurance, we can certainly be hidden of and by God. Now, first of all, I notice that in verse 1 to 3, the judgment or the retribution of Jehovah is universal. And notice these words. Verse 2, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. Now, those are very important expressions. I will consume. We understand, beloved, that if God declares his word, as he has, and there are those that disobey, deny, and refuse to regard the truth of God, they come under, and they can come under, divine discipline. So let us learn from these solemn opening words the need to set aside every element that would question the reality, the right of you and me and the collective company of God's people gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus to obey his word, irrespective of what it might involve. And you know, there are those with us in their homes and others in many ways are experiencing the reaction of those that disagree and despise their fidelity to God. Be encouraged. Not that we are praying for their judgment, but we are praying for their recovery. We are praying for their salvation. We are praying that those that oppose the testimony we uphold would be brought by God to see the path of righteousness, to see the value of the Word of God. But here is the statement, I will consume. So, young Christian, you may be passing through deep difficulty. You might be passing through times of great grief. God is able to deal with the element that's opposing. But you must And we all must prove our fidelity to God, resting on what He's giving here in judgment. From verse 4 down to verse 13, we have the details of the judgment. Idolatrous people, idolatrous princes, idolatrous persecutors, idolatrous purveyors, and idolatrous pretenders. Now, you'll get my notes afterward, but here God, by the Spirit, through Zephaniah, is identifying those that are going to be judged, people that are idolatrous. Notice the words, please, in verse 4. I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place and the name of Chemarins with the priests and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops and them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm and them that are turned back from the Lord and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for Him. We'll go right down there. I want you to find in these words the practical yet pertinent words of Zephaniah announcing that God is observing those that disregard His truth, that disregard His divine revelation, that replace it by other things that are not in keeping with His word. It will invoke His divine judgment and bring about His divine displeasure. The practical response is this, brethren. You have the truth of God. You have the word of God. You make sure, beloved, young and old, whether in assembly fellowship or exercised about it, that you must not under any circumstances militate against the word of God. The privilege of us that are gathered to the Lord's name is to establish the truth, to express it by teaching, to express it by godly living, and to express it by devotion to the one that has given us the revelation. If not, then we will invoke this divine displeasure of God, because He's watching and He's observing everything. Now look at verse 14 quickly. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Verse 15. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness, day of desolation, and so on. Verse 16, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. Here's a description. Now listen. Listen to these words that I want to emphasize before you just now. The coming of the Lord never was as near. What Zephaniah is speaking about, as you know, is the day of the Lord. That is, a day that will follow the coming of the Lord for His people. Why does the Lord Jehovah bring this approaching day so near to those that are living contrary to His word? To remind them that in that day, the one that shall come, the one that shall be manifestly seen, will bring either blessing or judgment upon the state of things as they are. Now I want us to think of this. What am I associated with at this moment of time? Personally, collectively, devotedly, doctrinally. Why? Well, the coming of the Lord never was as near. He might come today. He might come tomorrow. Every day that ever commences in my life, I just hope it would be today. But the question is, how will he find me in my personal testimony? How will he find me in my collective testimony? How am I moving for God according to his word? You see, these people had the mind of God. These people had divine truth. But they set it aside. So the coming of the day of the Lord for them is going to be as it is. Judgment. The principle is real. I'm drawing a parallel. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Young Christian, older saint of God, let us come into the presence of the Lord at this moment of time in the consciousness that before this day could end, we could be caught up to heaven. How will he find me? How will he find me? I could give you very downright examples. One day, I was in a house, and the wife said to me, "You don't mind me showing you some literature my husband's reading at night?" I couldn't believe it. Put it under his pillow. I remember being in a certain country, and the representatives are here today, when two brethren, gone to heaven now, came to where I was abiding, and with tears in their eyes, the like of which I'll never forget. Those two brethren told me of what a dear wife brought to them concerning the behavior of her husband. It was absolutely, indescribably awful. Now, why do I give you those examples? Here were men living outwardly, anticipating the coming of the Lord. I came. This is what I was told. What would have happened if the Lord had come? And those men that were moving professedly for God, absorbing in material that was absolutely heterodox, awful in keeping with what they profess to believe. Pardon me now, I'm telling you the truth. So I want you to feel today the nature of this message. Here's the day of the Lord approaching, and here are the people of God being aware of it. They know what is coming, but is it going to alter their behavior? Is it going to change their action? Is it going to restore their carnality? Brethren, I trust these words will touch all our hearts, because it could be, that I secretly, subtly, could be living contrary to what I profess. That's the message. Look, please, at chapter 2, verse 1. Gather yourselves together. Gather together. You notice, I'm sure you've noticed now what I've done. I have given you how Zephaniah repeats simple words. I will utterly consume. I will consume. I will consume. You saw that in chapter 1, didn't you? And other verses I've emphasized. Now here's another one. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation, not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass, as the chaff before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Here's a call for absolute necessity. Of absolute necessity. What it means is this. Let us repent. Let us confess. Let us respond to the overtures of divine truth if we are not living as we ought. That's what God is looking for here. Gather before the decree bring forth. Before the judgment of God could be executed upon them, God is giving them a deterrent to the judgment. Verse 2. It's an urgency, right? Now, there's a lovely passages that I'm going to give you, not by quoting them, but on the notes. You go to Exodus chapter 5. You go to Numbers 15. You go to 1 Kings 17. And notice the appeals of Jehovah on these points in those passages when you get time to read it tonight. Here's the urgency. Now look at the call, verse 3. Seek ye the Lord. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. See? The one thing about this man Zephaniah, he's very like an Irish preacher. He has 3 points. 3 points. All the Irish preachers have usually 3 points, you know. They don't believe in 4 or 5 or 6. Just 3's enough. And Zephaniah is very good at that, isn't it? Seek. Look at that. Look at that. Seek the Lord. Listen, seek righteousness. Seek meekness. Now, I don't think I need to expound that. But here is the call and its urgency. Verse 3, and that's very precious, isn't it? Seek, seek, seek. Verse 4, for Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. That's the Philistia. 4-7. 8-11 is Moab and Ammon. Verse 12 is Ethiopia. And verse 13-15 is Assyria. In other words, I'm giving you now that company right down to verse 15. Chapter 3. The directness of the judgment. Verse 1. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. See that word not 4 times? See that? You understand the urgency. You understand the thrust of this man's appeals? Verse 4. Her princes within her roaring lands, her prophets are light. But verse 5 is precious. The just Lord, oh that's lovely, isn't it, is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. That's a tremendous parallel or contrast. After all, beloved, you and I know the rudiments of salvation. One of the greatest rudiments of salvation is this: the holiness of God. The holiness of God. Demanding in your life and mine a total separation from every form, from every facet, and from every feature of evil. I don't think, as assemblies, we preach the holiness of the Lord as we ought. Simply because there was an element in my early day where holiness was of a different class. And assemblies therefore shunned the word because I'm feeling they were afraid of being associated with what was going on in those days. And I've watched and listened over the years, and I've been a little bit disappointed to find that many servants and ministers of the word very rarely deal with the principle of divine holiness. You see, I met all this when I was in the aircraft factory. One very nice young man, and I must say he was a very nice young man. I could tell you where he lived. Lived in East Belfast. And he said to me, "You know, I haven't sinned for 4 years." I said, "What?" "I haven't sinned," he says, "for 4 years." Well, I said, "Boy, I'm going to tell you something. I think you've sinned right now for telling me that." See? All I'm pointing out, you see, this was the trouble. And that young man was what I would call one of the holiness people. He came under teaching that suggested we could be so holy that we could live lives, days, weeks, months, and years without sinning. Sad, isn't it? But listen, brethren, here's the trouble here. Here's the point here. And we want to get that very clear. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He feeleth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. Oh, brethren, let us grasp and let us be gripped by the holiness of God. Verse 7, "Surely thou wilt fear me. Thou wilt receive instruction, to their dwelling should, so their dwelling should not be cut off. However, I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings." Surely thou wilt fear me. Thou wilt receive instruction. I'm sure you will. Now finally, chapter 3, verse 8 to 20. Verse 8, I feel, brings to us the determination of Jehovah. "Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." That's tremendous, isn't it? Look at verse number 9 to 10. "For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering." I think it's wonderful to think that God extends his promise to people that were not really linked with the nation of Israel. That's a point on the passage. Showing the generosity of God. Showing the grace of God. And listen, thank God for being brought up in a Christian home. Thank God for being brought up where the truth of God was taught. But listen, many a time I've felt ashamed when I found younger men and younger sisters that didn't have the kind of upbringing I had being brought in and showed more devotion than ever I knew. That has spoken to me tremendously. And we who have been privileged, I do trust we know to live up to that privilege. And there are many with us this afternoon that were not so privileged, but their very presence here this afternoon indicates their willingness to acknowledge and to accept the principle, the priceless principle of subjection to our Lord. That's in this passage. Look, please, at verse 11 to 13. In that day shalt thou be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor, and they shall trust, poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. There's an indication of his dealings. Now just apply that in your life. Have a good look at what God has done in your assembly. Have a good look what God can do through his grace in the lives of others. And if you feel you're not living as you ought, here's a passage that shows God is willing to restore if only you and I will respond. And that's vital in relation to the ministry. Verse 17. Verse 16. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. Now, we're in the fellowship. We're here in conference. I want us to feel the need to respond to these lovely words. I think it's by day. Fear not. Let not thine hands be slack. We have a tremendous privilege. We have a tremendous responsibility. God has brought us together. He's given us his word. We're conscious of his presence. So let us not fear. Let us get above the pressure of home life, the pressure of worldly life, the pressure of business life, and let us concentrate on the privilege that is ours. Not to fear, and then to see this, let not thine hands be slack. What are you doing in your assembly? What work are you engaged in for God in your locality? Well, you know the responsibilities we have in Parliament, in USJ4, in Puchong, brethren here from Ipoh, brethren here from Singapore, Malacca, and other assemblies. What are we doing? Let our hands be filled with the work. Let us not be slack. What about the children's meetings? What about the Sunday school? What about the Bible class? What about the gospel meeting? How many other places in this land have a gospel meeting on a Sunday night? I passed by several places that are closed at night. But thank God for the grace that God has given us to maintain the gospel. Let not our hands be slack. His display. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord in the midst of thee is mighty. Good to go away with that, isn't it? What will he do? He will save. He will rejoice over thee. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I thought really that Zephaniah should have said, I will do it. I will rejoice over him. But brethren, I'm going to ask you today in the presence of God from my heart. as the Lord looks down upon our efforts in this country. Are these words true? Does he rejoice what he sees? Does he rejoice in what we're doing? Are we working in such a way as to disrupt, as to defy? Undercurrents can arise in any of God's people, amongst God's people, that undermines the sincerity and the reality of the testimony. The Lord help us to disperse that immediately if such obtains. What's next? Verse 18, to the end, his demonstration. Behold, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly. What is that? Now that solemn assembly must of necessity be the gatherings that were normal and scriptural for Israel. Passover, unleavened bread, Day of Trumpets, and so on. We have solemn assemblies. We have what we call the remembrance meeting, with the work of the Sunday schools and Bible classes, we have the gospel meeting on the Sunday evening. And here's the point. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. So if there has been anything that has disturbed any of these issues, the Lord is willing to show what he will do. He will gather and he will undo. Verse 19, behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee. I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. Now verse 20, at that time will I bring you again, even the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Now, I like to get the simple word. How many times from verse number 17 to verse number 20, how many times have we got his will? He will, I will, I will, I will, I will gather, I will make, I will turn. See? Here's God's promise. Here's God's power. Here's God's pledge. And may we know that. In his name shall we pray. Our blessed God, we thank thee for the ministry of Zephaniah. We bless thee for his remarkable simplicity. We thank thee for his repetitive words that are very simple, but exceedingly serious and sanctifying. They search our hearts. They cause us to come before thee with the concern of our souls, in the hope that thou wilt not set us aside, but thou wilt fulfill thy promise in these closing I wills of this great book. So we look to thee, blessed God, for thy goodness, thy kindness, and thy fullness, of which we sense our total unworthiness, but according to thy goodness, thou wilt prevail. Bless thy people, Lord. Draw us closer to thee. Draw us closer to one another, that nothing nor no one will divide, will defile, will destroy the unity of the saints in Christ. Except for my thanks for the food that will follow and the fellowship enjoyed in the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn, while our brother from there and his friend at the other end there Mr. Yeah. Hymn number 228. 228. Praise ye the name of Jehovah our God. Declare, O declare ye his glories abroad. Proclaim ye his mercy from nation to nation, till the uttermost islands have heard thy salvation. We'll remain seated because it's hard to get the sheets in standing. Hymn number 228, and the Lord bless you abundantly. Praise ye the name of Jehovah our God. Declare ye his glories abroad. Proclaim ye his mercy from nation to nation, till the uttermost islands have heard his salvation. For his love floweth on, free and full as a river, and his mercy endureth forever and ever. Praise ye the Lamb who for sinners was slain, who went down to the grave and ascended again, and who soon shall return when these dark days are o'er, to set up his kingdom in glory and power. For his love floweth on, full and free as a river, and his mercy endureth forever and ever. Then the heavens, the earth, and the sea shall rejoice, the fields and the forest shall lift a glad voice, the sands of the desert shall flourish in green, and Lebanon's glory be shed o'er the scene. For his love floweth on, free and full as a river, and his mercy endureth forever and ever. Her bright still attire and her festal array, all nature shall wear on that glorious day. For her king cometh down with his people to reign, and his presence bless her with Eden again. For his love floweth on, free and full.